Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Welcome, welcome, welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. Now, I am on the road right now. I'm actually in Boston. I went to make a visit to Harvard to see my buddy D1. And D1 is actually at Harvard, and my wife was there with me, and we had a great time. And that's where I'm at. I'm on the East Coast now for a couple of days. And then I head out to Los Angeles soon for the Black Wealth Bootcamp. That's going to happen March 10th and 11th. So if you'd like to come to the Black Wealth Bootcamp, it's a two-day deep dive intensive training on my new book called The 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power. Now let's talk about Chris Rock. How many of you saw the Chris Rock Netflix special? It was called, Selective Outrage. Chris Rock, how many of y'all saw the Chris Rock documentary that was really funny, and Chris Rock killed it while we were together? And let me tell you, my wife, she's not a big fan of Chris Rock, but she actually walked away like with him making her laugh. So I think Chris Rock nailed it pretty good. I don't know what y'all think, but give me your opinion. What do you think of it? Do you think Chris Rock nailed it? Do you think that he went too far? Of course, he made his Will Smith jokes and all that stuff, right? I mean, that was all. He saved that to the end. And I have some thoughts on that, too, I'd like to share with you. Because, you know, one thing that people forget is that this is not just a personal thing. This is not just a fight between two brothers. This is money. This is money. Like, do y'all understand me when I tell you that that slap, that Will Smith slap was worth probably at least $30 million to $50 million for Chris Rock? Like, do y'all know that? Do y'all know that that was like, to me, I believe that was a $50 million slap, because I'd be willing to bet you that Chris Rock was able to get a mega deal out of Netflix. I don't know how much Netflix paid him for his special, but if they were paying, you know, the Chappelles and everybody else $20 million for specials and whatnot, I think Chappelle got even more than that. I can't remember how much Chappelle got total. He got a massive deal from Netflix, and I can only imagine that Chris Rock got a similar deal, because he just did his show. Everybody was talking about it. He was trending on Twitter. That is big for Netflix. And the thing was that I expected this, just because I'm always thinking about the economics behind everything that kind of happens. And I was noticing, if you recall, remember when Will Smith first slapped Chris Rock, they asked Chris, they said, do you have anything to say about it? And Chris said, no, I have nothing to say about it. And the reason he had nothing to say about it was because they were saying, we're going to talk about it when we can get paid to talk about it. We're going to talk about it when there's money involved, right? And so given that Chris is a comedian, now Chris is a regular person, I think Chris would have, you know, done an exclusive interview with Oprah or something like that for a couple million dollars. But instead, he said, no, let me go ahead and negotiate with Netflix. Let me go ahead and give it a year, so get people waiting to hear what I have to say. And then I'm going to drop it in a space where you have to pay money, or you have to somehow, you know, be connected financially in order for you to get the rest of this information. That's what I believe. I believe that Chris, that's what Chris was doing. And I think he did it brilliantly. I'm going to tell you what, I thought Chris nailed it. Give me a yes if you think he nailed it, if you thought he was really funny. You got to give it to him. Whether you like him or not, he really came out and did a great job. He showed his professionalism. I think he probably is kicking himself because he messed up one joke at the end. If y'all remember, he said emancipation when he meant to say concussion. He was talking about the movie Concussion, and he's going to say, and your husband gave me a concussion. But instead, he said emancipation. Then he said, oh, I fucked up the joke, and then he moved on. So he handled it really well, but I think he's probably kicking himself for that. But beyond that, I thought he really was very funny. And for a comedian, your jokes are your weapons. You know, for a comedian, your joke, that's your weapon, that's your shield, that's your superpower, right? So for him to wait until a comedy special to address Will Smith, in my opinion, I think that was Chris really leaning into his superpower. Because I'm going to tell you like this, I'm not as old as Will Smith and Chris Rock, but I'm a 51-year-old black man, and I can tell you, when you get slapped in front of the world and people are calling you a punk and everything else, you think about that a little bit. You think about that a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what, he came right back. Like David Webb, I agree with you, man. Chris Rock, this was Chris's way of slapping the hell out of Chris. Chris's way of slapping the hell out of Will Smith. I think he slapped Will by using comedy. And I'm actually going to bring my wife in so we can kind of have a joint conversation about it. So everybody say hi to Dr. Alicia. Dr. Alicia is in the back in the green room. So let me bring her in here. Hey, babe, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, you asked me how I'm doing. We spent the whole day together. You tell me, how am I doing today?
How you been in the last 3 minutes?
I've been great. I've been listening to you, trying to hear what you're saying about. So what did you say about your, you thought that Chris Rock, this was Chris Rock's version of slapping Will back?
Yeah, I feel like he slapped Will. I feel like he went in and like I think he kicked him pretty hard. It's really interesting. Here's the thing. Both Will and Chris are just geniuses, right? Both of these guys, I mean, you talk about black excellence as far as, you know, Hollywood types go. These two guys, you don't get better than these two, right? And what I really saw with Will is I watched him carefully. I started following him on Instagram just to see how he would respond to the incident. And he's been doing a very good job of making comedy out of, you know, what happened. He's making fun of himself, as you always talk about. You got to be able to laugh at yourself. But then Chris comes back and doesn't just make it funny. He really took some swipes at Will that were pretty heavy. What'd you think?
Okay, so first of all, you know, I'm not a Chris Rock fan, and I came into watching the special like, what is he gonna say? But oh my gosh, I'm now a Chris Rock fan. That was really good. That was the excellent response. He has a really good team of people helping him carve together his thoughts in a way. And I guess it takes, how long has it been? A whole year? It's been exactly a whole year. Is this the anniversary of the slap? I want to say this might be the anniversary of the slap.
It could be. That's probably timed it that way.
March of last year.
Will Smith slap Chris Rock. I'm Googling it. March 27th, 2022. Okay. So almost exactly one year ago. Today's March 5th.
Yes. Yeah. So exactly, you know, almost a year, almost to the date. He now has had a whole year of kind of digesting what's happened and talking to his team because, you know, I don't think Chris Rock probably has a team of people who come up with different ways to respond, but what a brilliant response. And I'd be interested to see how Will Smith responds to Chris Rock's response, but it was worth the wait. I thought it was a brilliant show. One of his best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the part that really got me was, you know, I understood toward the end why he called his special selective outrage, because he made a very good
point.
I mean, and the way he went, like where I started picking up his like black man energy, like I'm really pissed off, is when he basically was like, you know, like he said something like, he said, so-and-so called you a punk. Charlamagne called you a punk. All these people called you a punk. Your wife had basically cheated on you and then interviewed about it. And then he made the joke. He said, I was sucking somebody else's dick. How do you feel about it? Right. and for him to say that, like, was his way. I feel like he was really just going in pretty hard, you know? And I think that at that point, then he's like, and then, you know, all these people called you a punk and then you slapped me. Like, you know, so I thought he did a really, in terms of just getting his response, all right, like you think about it, I think you can learn, people can learn from this. Like you can learn that there's different ways to skin a cat, right? Like you can respond and retaliate without embarrassing yourself, right? Without, you know, I tended to agree that two 50-year-old black men fighting on stage at the Oscars would look stupid. They would both look like a couple clowns. Right. And I know some people like clownish behavior. I'm not a fan of that. Right. And but that don't mean you can't respond, you know, and I think he responded very, very well. And he got paid to respond, because think about it. Fighting somebody on stage at the Oscars ain't going to get you paid. That's going to get you fired. Right. So he kept his cool. He waited a year, negotiated probably $100 million from Netflix to, you know, who really wanted him to talk about it. He said, I'm not going to talk about it for free. And then, boom, he comes back. It literally drops a hammer right on Will Smith's head. Checkmate. There we go. Thank you, Raheem. That's a good word. Checkmate. What do you think?
Checkmate. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And there's a word that therapists, we like to use. It's a word that Freud came up with about defense mechanisms. And one way and the word is displacement. So if you're mad at your boss, so an example of displacement in the therapist world is if you're mad at your boss, you can't take it out on your boss. So you go home and you kick the dog. So that's basically what Chris Rock is saying Will Smith did. Like, he was really mad, angry with his wife for good reason, right? For humiliating him by interviewing him and talking about something that was clearly very painful. It looked like Will Smith wasn't quite over what happened years ago. And I mean, just the idea that your wife was sleeping around with your child's friend, like, I don't know how many marriages can survive that, right? So just that whole thing, and you can't take it out on the person you're really angry with, and it's called displacement. So you displace your anger onto someone who's smaller than you, because Chris Rock made a point to say, you know, I don't think y'all realize it because it's television, but, you know, Will Smith is twice my size. Like, he's much bigger than me. So I thought that was just, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, he's displacing his anger that he has toward the situation or toward his wife, displacing it onto Chris Rock. Brilliant.
Well, in terms of size, I was curious that when Chris said that he said Will's significantly bigger than him. Well, first off, they're only 4 inches apart in terms of height. Chris Rock is 5'10". Will Smith is 6'2". But in terms of build, you know, I'm going to guess Will is maybe 6'2", 250, something like that. And maybe Chris is 5'10", 175, right? You know, so you're probably talking about a 70, 80-pound difference between the two guys. And either way, though, you know, when you get to the point where you're old, rich, and famous, you don't think that strength or you know, a battle between two 50-some-year-old black men should come down to who's the biggest. You know, it, like, that happens when you're, like, in the ninth grade or something. You know, you're in ninth grade, you don't fight the big kid because he might beat you up. But when you're 51 years old, you have to learn how to fight in other ways. And I really – I was ruined the best night of his career, you know, with that kind of behavior that was so different from anything anybody had ever seen. And I just really think there's so many other opportunities he had for the last 30 years to act a fool in private, you know, act a fool on the street. Let the tabloids speculate on what happened, right? Or people's cell phones or whatever. But don't, like, at the Oscars, like, right? I mean, at that moment, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and it's funny because the movie that the movie that Will Smith was nominated for, he represented this man, you know, who was, like, instrumental in developing and shaping one of the greatest athletes right now in the world. You know, Venus and Serena Williams is one of the best athletes, you know, we have right now. And that's a true sign of manhood. And I think what Chris Rock talked about, that was the theme through his discussion, was talking about manhood. Wouldn't you say, boys? He talked about how to raise his children. He talked about, you know, being divorced and dating, but he talked about manhood in a lot of different ways that was funny and really, really smart. This was a great comeback. What would you say to that in terms of his manhood, his response to that?
I think he probably felt the need to defend his manhood. Like, the part where I saw it most was when he mentioned that he insisted that he's not a victim. You know, yes. Like, I think that was an important part of defending his manhood, is to say, I'm not a victim. I'm not, you know, I'm not walking around like a little crybaby. You know, it happened, and I'm going to talk about it. And then he kind of said, watch this. Now I'm going to punch him back. Because I guarantee you that what's crazy is the whole world was laughing at that special except for Will and Jada and their family. They're the only people on the planet who didn't watch that and laugh. And you gave an excellent testimonial in favor of Chris when you basically just said a few minutes ago, I was not a fan of Chris Rock. Now I'm a fan of Chris Rock. To me, that there are very few statements that could have been a clearer indication that Chris won. Because I remember when I started playing Chris's special, and I said, this is really funny. You got to listen to this. You didn't even laugh at the first couple of jokes because you were so irritated with him. And then you started laughing. And once you start laughing, we didn't stop laughing.
Yeah, I just find that sometimes, and it was a little bit of that in this special, I just feel like Chris Rock really capitalizes off of making fun of black women. he does that a little too much in his stand-up. And then at some point, I'm just like, okay, dude, this ain't really funny. Like, can you just move on and talk about somebody else? And he did a little bit of that this time, but not as much as he normally does. That kind of just like mildly bothers me enough where I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then here he is making fun of Jada Smith. I just was like, yeah, just, you know, so.
Well, you know, interesting that, you know, it was kind of interesting. It was, you know, I mean, I think that the point's real clear. Like, I think he was just, I think when he went out of his way to describe in excruciating detail what Jada did, you know, your wife slept with your child's friend. Like, I just felt like that was him just jabbing the knife in and twisting it and twisting it and twisting it. And then she interviewed you about it. And then he makes a joke about it, which further humiliates you. Like, it's like if Will had been in the audience that night, he would have climbed up on stage and slapped him. He would have tackled him this time, you know. And I think that that's the weird thing about it that makes me feel bad for Will is I really wish I could understand, you know, what did you think what you were going to get out of this? What were you proving? Who were you proving it to? What was, you know, and the whole world is kind of in on the joke. And I guess, you know, you're standing by your wife and your family. And I admire that. I admire the discipline and everything else. But my God, you know, I bet Will, if he didn't need his therapist before that slap, he really needed the therapist after. But I think the slap was also an indication that he needed the therapist, right? Because whatever he was feeling, he couldn't even hold it in until after the show. Or, you know, I don't know. Or maybe he just felt like doing it during the show was a way to kind of express his, you know, some type. Because I'm wondering also maybe in some awkward way, maybe that was Will's way of saying, I'm so big that I can do this and I'm going to be fine. I'm still going to be worth $500 million, still going to have movie deals, still going to have fans around the world. Because I follow Will. Here's the thing. People can't think of this as Chris wins, Will loses. Will ain't never going to lose. Mm-hmm. Will Smith, I mean, again, so again, if we're going to talk about the downside of that and kind of, you know, sort of challenge Will and his family on the nonsense that was kind of exposed. I think that Red Table Talk, I bet you, I would love to be a fly on the wall when Will and Jada are having an honest conversation about that Red Table Talk. Because if you were hosting a show like that and dropping our business out there like that, like taking our most difficult moments and making them public just so you can get likes on Facebook, we would have to have a conversation. I cannot imagine you and I. And I think, and Chris brought that point up too. Chris was like, who in the hell gets cheated on and then wants to go on a show and get interviewed by the person who cheated on you? And then he made it funny. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's and I see what they mean. I see what Will and Jada were trying to do. I think she was taking that Red Table Talk as a way to be absolutely, totally transparent and to be relatable. But I think that was the wrong example because no one could relate to that. Like, okay, cheating, people can relate to that because everybody's been cheated on. I mean, that's what Chris Rock was saying. But I think like cheated on in that way, like that's not relatable. Like it crossed the line to kind of like, lady, you kind of creepy. Like who preys on some innocent victim? You know, really that little boy, he was a little boy she was sleeping with. So, I mean, that didn't seem, that like kind of crossed the line and we were all left scratching our head. Like, no, I don't understand that. Like that doesn't make sense. And why are you talking about this, you know, in front of everybody? And it clearly was something that I don't know why Will agreed to do that, but it clearly, I mean, the memes, when you become a meme in the way that's kind of funny like that, and I was laughing at the memes, I have to admit, it was pretty hilarious, but I didn't think that was not a good look for their brand. That was not a good look for either one of them. And it's interesting because as you were talking, you were saying that Will is always going to be out. He's going to be on top no matter what. Like no one can take his money away from him. No one can take his achievements away from him or the fact that he actually did get an Oscar for that wonderful performance. However, subconsciously, the image in our mind is going to be, I think Will Smith kind of was knocked down a level in our head. Like subconsciously, he's always going to be the person who embarrassed himself in front of everybody by losing his shit basically and like running up there, something unheard of. Like why would you do that? Like running up there and doing something so thoughtless, you know, it's just like he felt it in his gut and he just acted on it. And so I just think in that way that's more your image and what you represent is more important than money. Like a lot of these movie stars understand that. They're like, no, I have to keep my image at a certain level. I can't reduce myself below because my image and my reputation is so much more important than money.
Yeah. That's the part that kind of seems a little strange, right? Is that the Red Table Talk, as much as you have to have some admiration for that desire to be transparent and everything else. And who knows, maybe Jada somehow backhandedly is able to, you know, represent a win for the feminists who say, well, men sleep with 20 something year old women all the time and it's not stigmatized. Why can't women do it too? But if a man slept with his daughter's friend, that would still be seen as kind of messed up. Right. It wouldn't be, you know, and so I think the sad part is that it takes this family that was seen as kind of like a royal family. You know, they kind of had that mystique that the Obamas have or that Beyonce and Jay-Z have, you know, and that mystique is just completely undermined by the fact that, you know, you do this ridiculous stuff and then you go out and you talk about it publicly. That doesn't calculate for a lot of people. I know I don't quite get it. And I think, I'd be curious to know how people feel about it. I'd be curious to know for you, you know, given that you're a therapist, how do you counsel a family like that? Like if you were talking to the Smith family and just, you know, like if you were their family therapist, like because you counsel all kinds of couples and relationships that go, you know, where the couples are going through all kinds of stuff. Where do you start with it in a conversation with those two?
I think it all depends on what they present to me. I can always come up with things that couples can work on, but it all depends on what they say. Like, tell me how I can help you. What's going on? What's happening? And if he said, well, my wife slept with our daughter's best friend. Was it the daughter or son? My child's best friend. And this had been going on for some, the son's, whatever. Doesn't even matter. The son's best friend. I mean, if that's the presenting problem, I would treat it like basic infidelity and try to say, okay, are you ready to recommit yourselves to each other? And it did seem they actually were ready to commit themselves. They're still together. Now, I don't know, like a question I would have for them is, are you surviving? Are you just kind of hanging on to this marriage? Or are you really thriving in this marriage? Is this something where the two of you are feeling like this union is the best union for me and for my career and what I want to do? I mean, that's important. You gotta be able to support each other's dreams and making sure that everything you do is not gonna is gonna support them and not tear each other down. So I definitely would have those types of conversations with them, and for sure infidelity recovery work, which takes a lot of deep work about where did it break down between the two of them in terms of their connection with each other, what happened that led Jada to have this desire for this person. I guess maybe she claimed she was in a vulnerable position, and she also spoke about her own mental health. So that's something you got to keep your own mental health in check when you're in a relationship, particularly when you're raising family, because children can drive you crazy, which was another thing I thought Chris Rock did a really good job talking about kids, how we just, you know, he just made a funny jokes about children, how they are his daughter be biting people and stuff. I thought that was funny. These precious children. So I do. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, did you notice that Chris Rock called Will Smith a rapper?
No, I didn't catch that. That was good.
Yeah. He made a joke about Beyonce and Jay-Z. And he said, well, the last thing I want to do is piss off another rapper. And Will Smith ain't been a rapper for 25 years.
See, that went right over my head. That's brilliant. I like when someone tells a joke and it goes over my head. I was like, wait, what's he talking about? Interesting. So I never even, in my mind, I don't even register Will Smith anymore as a rapper. To me, he's an actor.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just, if it meant nothing or if that was a way to, because he's an actor. He's more of an actor than a rapper. I mean, he was a rapper for, he was a full-time rapper rapper for about 6 or 7 years. He's been a full-time actor for like 30 years now. You know, so for him to be to define Will Smith as a rapper, what do y'all think? I mean, do you think there was something to it, or am I reading too much into it? I can't. I just feel like when you're talking about a multi-million dollar Netflix. Chris, I imagine he thought about every single word that came out of his mouth. And for him to say, you know, rapper as opposed to like actor, I don't know. I just think that's kind of like, I don't know if it was like a sneak diss or maybe.
He was reducing him down, because remember, this was the Oscars. You don't get an Oscar by rapping. You get an Oscar.
Yeah, right. And he just won Best Actor. He didn't even call him that. He's called him a rapper.
That's so, ugly. Boyce, what else do you think? Because you enjoyed this. I think you enjoyed this special, especially at the beginning. You came into the room, you were just laughing so hard. I mean, you really enjoyed it. And I know you don't usually like stand-up comedy.
I don't watch hardly anybody's comedy specials. Like, I don't watch any of the Kevin Hart stuff or none of that. I watch Chappelle and I watch Chris. That's it. That's pretty much the only two that can get me to sit through a special. And I'll tell you, I think generally I was really curious to see how he would respond, just because, you know, because these guys are kind of in my age group, you know, and I have real strong feelings about what I did not enjoy about seeing two grown black men that are highly respected around the world, you know, being reduced in that way. I just kind of feel like I want the community to see better examples of black men. We've seen Negroes fighting before. Give me a yes in the chat if you're tired of seeing black people fighting. Like, you can turn on any YouTube channel anywhere, damn near, any TV station, you're going to see Negroes fighting. You're going to see black men acting like children everywhere. So when you get examples of black men who act like grown-ups, it's nice. You know, it's nice to not see a black man failing and acting the fool and being a child. It's great to see a black man who is standing tall, succeeding, getting honored and respected for his quality work, winning awards, millions of dollars in the bank. You like that. You know, and so to see Will on his greatest night, for whatever, be taken to just lose his cool like that, it was just sad, man. It was like, come on, man. Like, is the whole world, has the whole world lost its mind? You know, I just really don't. And I encourage everybody who thinks that the only way to protect a black woman is to slap somebody to just sort of think a little bit broader than that. There's a million ways you can protect your woman and your family and your dignity without having to debase yourself and become a thug. You ain't got, thug life ain't the only way to get something done, you know? And I think that what Chris did by saying, you know what, I'm gonna show you another way to handle it. I'm gonna show you another way to kick somebody's ass. What Chris did was Chris said, okay, I'm gonna let you slap me, because children, you know, maybe that's what you need. Maybe the childish side of you gets some sort of fulfillment from a slap. I'm not even gonna feel it in 5 minutes. And then I'm going to not talk about it, even though the media wants me to go outside and act like a Negro, act like a debased Negro, and start yelling and screaming, man, my uncle, I'm a Cuban, wait, I see you. No, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something you'll never see black men really doing that often, at least not in mainstream media. I'm going to be strategic. So here's the thing. Chris's family wasn't silent after the incident. Mm-hmm. Chris was silent. Mm-hmm. His brother went out and spoke. See, this is the way countries operate. Like, if President Biden doesn't feel that a situation deserves his response, he'll send someone else out to speak on his behalf, right? Yeah. So that he can maintain a certain position on the chessboard. So Chris said, no, my words have a lot of value and I'm not going to give it away for free. So I would be willing to bet you that Chris said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold it in. Because now everybody wants to know what I think. I'm going to negotiate with Netflix, get $50, $100 million out of my next deal with Netflix, because now I'm the most talked about comedian on earth right now. At that moment, Chris Rock became the most talked about comedian on the planet. Do y'all understand how much money that is worth? You talk about more, people talking about you more than Chappelle. There ain't no, I can't even think of a white comedian that was talked about as much as Chris Rock. So he said, okay, I'm going to take this to the negotiating table, negotiate a deal with Netflix that's going to pay my great-grandchildren, and then I'm going to incorporate my response in a well-crafted comedic presentation that allows me to literally use my superpower and smack him into next month. He smacked Will Smith so hard that Will is going to be feeling it for several years, because right now Will is not looking so good as a result of Chris Rock's retaliation, and Will can't say nothing back. Will cannot respond to Chris. Will can't do a comedy special. All Will can do is go slap him again or something, but that's not going to help. You know, so I don't know. I kind of like it, actually. I kind of feel like if I had a choice, I don't know, what do y'all think? I feel like if you had a choice between getting one slap on somebody's face versus like getting $100 million slap that's going to hurt them for the rest of their whole entire career to literally obliterate. I mean, he obliterated, not obliterated. I would say he significantly harmed Will Smith's public image and perhaps even his legacy by doing it the way that he did. I that's just what I think. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve to get slapped. Maybe he was he's probably did some messed up stuff, but woo, buddy.
He's capitalized so much off of this slap that it's almost as if he put Will Smith up to do it. It's like, why don't you slap me on camera?
Right.
Because I'm ready. I'm ready to win.
I told my friends, I said, you know, that was a $100 million slap, right?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning praying to white Jesus that Will Smith would slap me too. I would love it if the headline said, Will Smith slaps Dr. Boyce Watkins because he was speaking crap about him on the podcast. Seriously. Like, people don't understand. Like, it's, you know, you got to kind of sit back and play the game in a way that's going to help you win and not just overreact from an emotional standpoint. You got to learn some logic, you know, and I just think Chris handled it in a very logical way. Like, what good would it have done him to tackle Will Smith and then get beat up on the Oscar stage in front of like 100 million people? Are you serious right now?
Yeah, because if you're a comedian and someone slaps you, either for real or virtually, you're a comedian. The only way to handle that is to tell some jokes about it. It's like, thank you. Now I got material for my next Netflix special. Thank you very much. Like, that's what comedians do.
Stay magical, right? Isn't that the term you use? Stay magical?
Yeah. I mean, he stayed magical. And I love when comedians respond to things with their craft, because to be a comedian, like anybody, first of all, it takes a lot of hard work to be a really good comedian. You have to know about timing. I saw a special, you know, when I was grading papers, I saw something on Hulu, Jerry Seinfeld. He did a whole thing on Hulu about comedians and the art, the craft of the comedian. He had Tiffany Haddish and all these people on there, and they were talking about the life of a comedian, being on the road and everything. It is a grueling life when you're first starting out to be a comedian. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of failure. To be an excellent comedian, they all have a whole list of failures. They'd be like, oh, I totally bombed. And putting yourself out there like that. So the process to become an excellent comedian, when you get to the status of Chris Rock, I mean, it takes quite a bit to get to that point. And so to be able to develop that craft and to use that craft to respond to someone who did something to you, now you got a bunch of material. So that's a beautiful response. It's sad that he did that. And I have a question for you, boys. Do you think they'll ever reconcile?
No, I don't think they will. I feel like they were never that close. I mean, people think that because they're both famous and black, that they're supposed to be buddies. I don't think that they are. I think that they, you know, have issues with each other, and they're probably mad that the other person, you know, has, you know, whenever the other one does something good or succeeds, they probably get mad about it and feel competitive with each other on some level. And I just can't see them really reconciling. And who cares if they do? You know, people don't like each other. It happens, you know, and so what? You know, so what? The white guys, they're white guys who hate each other's guts. It's not like the end of the world if they don't ever reconcile. I think for the community, it would be good, just because I think that young black people, especially black men that look up to this, can learn ways to resolve conflicts without resorting to violence. And I think that the violence, because we're used to violence, we're used to black men wanting to harm each other. Like they say, there's no such thing as black on black crime. And I like for people to say that to my best friend, Greg Wilkins, who got shot in the head by a black man. You know, it doesn't mean that it couldn't have happened with a white guy, but I don't know any black people who got killed by white police officers or anything like that. But I know plenty of black guys who got killed by other black men. So I think that we tend to have this hostility toward one another and a way of dealing with each other that we don't have with other people. Like, I don't think Will Smith would have slapped a white guy up on that stage. I just cannot see him, slapping, I don't know, if it was Leonardo DiCaprio or something. I mean, imagine if he went up and slapped Leonardo DiCaprio. I definitely know the media would have seen it a certain way, but I just really think it would have been seen very differently than him slapping another black person. When he slaps another black person, it's like, uh-oh, there those Negroes go at it again. That's what they do. That's what those people do, right? But if he slapped a white guy, I don't know. I kind of feel like it would have been seen in a whole different light. So, and I don't even know if it would have happened. I couldn't even imagine it happening, right? So maybe that's a reflection of all my brainwashing too, right? You can't even, it's easy to understand a black man slapping another black man, but it would be weird to try to understand why Will Smith would slap a white guy, like Robert Downey Jr. or something like that. You know, so I don't know. I kind of feel like, I'm just telling you, I personally think that, you know, that moving forward, I think Chris is going to win. I think that Chris is going to host the Oscars again. I think Will Smith, he may or may not be invited. And I just kind of think that Will lost in a lot of ways. This was just yet another way that he ended up at the bottom of the pile, so to speak.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep hope alive. I'm keeping hope alive today. I really hope that they reconcile. I think it's like right now it's too soon. I'm thinking about all the beefs. Even Muhammad Ali and George Foreman made up. I think they made up after they fought. So, like, I hope that, you know, some time needs to happen. Maybe 10 years from now, 10 years from March, right now, Will Smith and Chris Rock host the Oscars together.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
my hope and dream. I'm going to keep hope alive.
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny? Well, be, you know, I'll tell you what. Well, I do think that for financial reasons, you know, if they are mature, they could look past that and realize that there would be a tremendous amount of economic value that each of them would receive by reconciling in some kind of way, doing something together. And I think it would also be good for the world. And so I don't know. I would love to just sort of speak to each of them and just really see what's going on inside their head and kind of understand what the logic and what the thinking is. Because there's one thing people don't understand is there's a lot of chess pieces that are being moved that you don't even see and a lot of variables that you don't understand. So there are obviously a lot of things maybe Chris has said or done before the incident that led to the slap. And then also, though, there are other variables to consider in terms of relationships and contracts and things like that. And we don't know who knows who and all this other stuff. So I kind of feel like that's the part that the public doesn't get. Right. And then the public definitely doesn't understand how heavy the financial implications are in terms of how you respond and what the outcomes are going to be. And so, but I think both these guys will be okay. And by the way, I want everybody to know, this is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. Her website, let me give you all her website. She sees clients. She's a licensed therapist and a full professor of social work. And she sees clients on a regular basis. So if you'd like to know what she does, you can visit coachingwithdralicia.com. Now, speaking of Hollywood types, I'm going to be in L.A. Next week on the 10th doing a Black Wealth boot camp. So if you want to fly into L.A., economic power. You can learn more by visiting boycewatkins.com. And on my website, there's also a training on that site options. So feel free to go take a look at that. All right, guys, well, we're about to head on out. I want to ask Alicia, babe, do you have anything else you want to say before we go?
No, that's it. I hope you have a wonderful time next weekend in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, let me say this, everybody. If you haven't seen Chris Rock's special, I encourage you to take a look. I think you are going to enjoy it. I think it was really funny. I think Chris is a brilliant comedian. He showed it with this Netflix special. I don't know if Will Smith is going to respond. I think he needs to just go ahead and lay his sword down and just move on, because there's nothing you can do to respond. What are you going to do, make a movie? You can't do a comedy special, right?
So you can't do Chris a comedy.
Right. So Chris is like the basketball player who got tackled and then said, okay, I'll meet you the basketball court. And then he dunked on Will Smith, right? Because, you know, because Will is a football player. He's not a bad – whereas Chris can operate in the acting world and the comedy world, Will can't do that. Will can operate in the acting world and the hip-hop world. So, but he's not really a rapper either, right? So it's not like he could go in the studio and make a song about Chris Rock. He literally is just an actor. All he can do is prepare for his next movie, and that's pretty much it. So anyway, that's it, guys. So remember, I think the reason I would definitely want to talk to you all about this is I want you all to really understand what strategy looks like and understand the economic implications behind certain things. You can't just be reactive and just going off the deep end and going off the rails every time something occurs. Let me just say this. I'll give you an example in my own life. My wife knows. We've had people talk crazy about me, talk crazy about us. When we got married, we had people that don't even know us making whole speculations about our relationship. And you just keep your cool. You just keep it moving. You know, I don't even watch the videos. Like, I know that, you know, when you get out there, people are going to poke at you. People are going to build a whole platform off of like just talking about you or making things up about you. You just keep it moving. You focus on where your superpower is. My superpower is my intelligence. I know that I'm black and intelligent, and I know the hell out of economics. So even my worst enemies, even the people that hate my guts, you can say I can't stand Dr. Boyce, but you can't say Dr. Boyce is stupid, because then everybody knows you're lying, right? Everybody knows that, right? So what I'm saying to you is focus on what you do best, what you love, and what matters to you, and keep it moving. The haters gonna hate, people gonna talk, but you can't let people cause you to just lose your cool. And I think that's what Will Smith did. Will Smith, when he decided to engage in teenager behavior to respond to something that irritated him, he lost every superpower he had. Because before that moment, he was King Will. He was Big Willie. He could just act like he didn't even hear the joke. You know, really, I mean, think about this. Will Smith, it was at the pinnacle of Hollywood. He still kind of is. Even now, he can still employ this strategy. You're still Will Smith, dude. Chris Rock is, you know, who cares what people say? Like, people admire you, man. And that's just, I mean, you know, and I don't want to belabor that point, but I want people to just understand that. Like, if you truly can find a way, this is what I would, if I was his therapist, I would try to help him embrace this. Like, stop whatever part of you is still that insecure Will with the big ears and whatever, and not sure of himself. We need to kick that guy out and understand, like there are some moments when you're gonna have to remember who the hell you are, you know. And you know, it's just like black people. Like when y'all start acting a fool and going crazy because some white person called you the N-word, and I'm gonna go to jail today. You call me the N-word. Remember who you are. You're important. Important people do not have to respond to unimportant comments. Give me a yes if you understand what I'm saying. Give me a yes if you understand what I'm saying. And again, I don't always stick to my plan the way I want to and anything else. But I'm going to tell you, when I'm in my right mind, that's where I am. And I can tell you, in my life, every video, you could go through YouTube right now and find 1,000 videos with people saying all kinds of crazy stuff about me. Literally videos that got 80, 100,000 views with people saying stuff that they know nothing about. I do not watch one single second of those videos. I do not let any of that energy into my mind. It don't exist. I see the title, I keep on scrolling. And part of the reason I keep scrolling is because I'm like, you know what? If you watch this, it's only going to piss you off over something that doesn't matter. So let's get back to work. Because I'm convinced to the core of my soul that being Dr. Boyce Watkins is important enough that I care about your time. So I encourage everybody, adopt that philosophy when it comes to the things that matter to you, when it comes to the stuff where you hold it down, when it comes to the stuff that makes you great, when it comes to your superpower that you're developing, focus on that and leave all the nonsense to the scrubs. Let the scrubs just keep on scrubbing and you keep on climbing. Got it? Everybody give me a yes if you get what I'm saying. I wanted to leave you with that before we bounce out. So anyway, Dr. Alicia's website, let me give it to you one more time before we go. I didn't plan on saying all that, but thank you for letting me get it out. Her website is coachingwithdralicia.com. She's a licensed therapist, a full professor of social work, and one of actually a small number of full professors amongst the black female population all across the country. She's a very good one. So feel free to go check out her website. My website is boycewatkins.com. So if you want to join us in LA for the Black Wealth Bootcamp, please feel free to visit boycewatkins.com. Com. All right, guys, I'm going to go lay down. So some of y'all can probably tell I'm a little bit tired, so let me go get a nap, and then I'm actually going to go to the gym tonight, but I'm going to get a nap first. So have a good night, everybody. Love you. We'll see you soon. Peace.